Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and today I talk about these podcasts as being global and timeless, but I want to timestamp this thing as I'm about to go into Studio AOC and do a recording on January 18th of 2022. And if you think about this time in construction, how long the days can be sometimes, but how short the years are, this is going to be one of those podcasts that I've been around the table with people and thinking, what did they do 100 years ago when this kind of thing happened? What was that moment of time? And so today I have the pleasure of having Tyler Campbell, who I love it when I get to go and have podcasts with other podcasts. And he helps run the Construction Brothers podcast and his whole brand of story builder we're going to get to know. But the main message I want you to convey, tribe, is here, is that the best advice that he's going to talk to us about is construction companies. What is that best advice to boost their online presence in 2022? With COVID and everything out there, we're all trying to figure that out, right? And his answer may not be what you think from all the robots and technology as a guy that's six generations in construction. So without further ado, my perspective for this whole thing is that I love construction. And if you listen to this, you know I'm all about the new shiny object, but I can tell you construction tech is not the solve. And in this new COVID world that we're all trying to figure out, we all have to be totally flexible, but we're going to talk about how persistent we were to get on this podcast. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Oh my goodness. All right. So I almost went with coffee, but I didn't want to steal David Bursick's answer there. So I'm going to push that over to the side. Bourbon. Bourbon is my favorite beverage.
So you're going to kind of suck up to me because that's my whole thing is the
hey,
my next
all right.
bourbon.
So there we go. We can talk some bourbon here. This is going to be great. But I got some recommendations, man. So
what's one that comes to mind?
Yellowstone is one I've been really digging lately.
That's a good one. You bet.
Yeah, really like it a lot. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Cool.
With my wife. Yeah, dude.
Give us one story from that.
Oh, man. Well, honestly, we did a walking tour down there one time, and we had one of the best tour guides ever. And a guy grew up with Stephen Colbert, of all people. And so he was showing us around Stephen Colbert's old house and all that. So it was pretty sweet.
Awesome.
So that was one of our favorites.
And we're going to get in and hear your story about a passionate life in construction, but what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Music. That's where it all started for me. So yeah, favorite hobby has got to be music.
What's your favorite thing you're listening to music-wise right now?
So I keep going back to Coldplay. I love those guys. I don't know why. I know not everybody likes them a lot, but it's my taste. I've always loved them. And then I grew up on Switchfoot and Reliant K and stuff too. So kind of in that early 2000s timestamp. But
cool.
So much.
Well,
fun.
It's an honor to have you, Tyler, here. And what is your story that led you to being the chief storyteller over at the Story Builder?
Oh my. So a little bit of a long-winded, but I'm going to try to keep this condensed for everybody. So six generations of builders in my family. My dad was a general contractor growing up. So I've just always been exposed to this. Dad started ABSI, which is our family business, about close to 20 years ago. We're getting really close there. I think we're a year away. So he started it as a BIM company, a building information modeling company. And so I came in to that about 10 years ago. My brother was about 17 years ago when he came into it. Worked in the family business, apprenticed under my brother, who is a Well, I don't want to give him too much of a pat on the back, but he's a wise old man, we'll call him.
Brotherly love. That's so nice of you.
So I apprenticed under him. And then also, you know, I had our dad there too. So I learned a lot about the industry, and most of my time was spent in structural details and in the steel industry, right? So that's really where the bread and butter was made for that company. Steel was one of the early adopters of BIM. So this BIM thing has been in my vocabulary for practically my whole life. It's been there for a long time.
I thought BIM just started.
Oh yeah. Started. I was thinking back, like legitimately, I think our dad was probably one of the first to start a real BIM company in the US.
Yeah, when I hear 20 years ago in BIM, and now you're the one being the
2003 is when it started.
That's crazy.
So this has been around a minute, and I remember my dad modeling stuff in the basement at that age. Like it's nuts. I came in 10 years ago. About 8 years ago though is kind of when I started to venture out. I like steel detailing, but at the same time, I feel like I knew it wasn't going to be my long term. Like that wasn't going to be my sole reason here. And so I fell into photography. I fell in love with that and shot as much as I could and did weddings and stuff like that occasionally, and just whenever I could. And then turned into loving graphic design. And then it turned into loving user experience, design and research and all of that. And it's just like this. So when you talk about a hobby, this was my hobby for the past 8 years. And then only until, was it 2.5 years ago when we started Construction Brothers, did it turn into a full on, I'm really ironing this out. Like I'm really starting to hone this down and really start to get good at it and understanding, how I can lead other people in this. And, teach them how to market for themselves. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about today. So I don't want to give the whole bag away, but so it's been a lot of fun. And then we'll see in January is when we officially opened the doors as Story Builder, and I left ABSI, not in disgrace. We're still in, we're still a family. I'm still squatting at the office too. So like they haven't kicked me out yet. So it's just kind of a,
what a cool origin story, right? And that your dad, 2003, doing BIM, that now it's all of these, these digital natives coming in where that's where they're starting, instead of the opposite of what is BIM, and actually trying to get the magic eye in BIM to mean something in construction, right? And so this technology thing we've had, it's been so fun for me to run the mic with these, as this transfer of enthusiasm, but this transfer of tribal knowledge. And these two things are so challenging to put together. Tyler, talk to me about how, when you talk to me about technology, about how people talk about how you sell technology as the magic pill.
Mm.
What's your take to that?
There was the disconnect that I started to see. Okay, so I started kind of falling in love with this marketing thing, right? And then I also love construction. Like that's my heart. That's where I started. That's what I've learned over the past 10 years, And I started realizing, wow, marketers are really selling this as like the be all end all. Like technology is going to solve all of your problems in the field and everything that goes wrong. And like, and I was like, wow, there's a disconnect in a big way, like marketing versus reality. Like, so I think we did an episode with Hamza Shambari at Haskell on that one, or Disrupt Tech. And a lot of it for us is that we just believe that when we implement technology into our company, it's going to fix all of it, because we've been led to believe that through marketing. And so for me, I have talked to my grandfather and my dad and all of these people. And I'm like, guys, it's people. People are the things that make or break a project. Tech is great. I love tech. I grew up in tech. I mean, crap. Like if my dad was one of the first in BIM, like I grew up loving construction technology, but there can be almost too much trust in it.
Mm-hmm.
I say not trust, but there can be too much reliance on it. We can kind of just almost pass the buck because of the technology in the pipeline. So what I like to preach any chance that I get is that get back to people, start learning how to work with them, work on your soft skills. And, pulling from another podcast guest of ours was, you know, they're not soft skills. They're really hard skills. Like, they're very difficult skills to master. But start, you know, learning how to empathize with people. That's going to get you further than any amount of technology will long-term.
I love that. And I want to peel back that onion to say, like, the technology is almost becoming this like comfort blanket that we're just behind the computer screen and we're just going to email out all this magic pill and it's all going to work, right? But talk to me a little bit more. Like, if I understand you right, Tyler, you're saying, so six generations of contracting, but yet your dad started really embracing technology, in fact, having a technology company. But can you go back a little bit further? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, you had grandpa on the podcast, which what an honor to do that. As my stepfather that raised me, tomorrow is his, you know, our last meeting where we're sending him off into retirement, and my brother's taken over one of our locations. And it's just such a cool celebration. But I swear, like, he's more into technology than any of us. And it's a matter of like balancing that stuff, which is an art. So can you talk to me about six generations of construction and maybe shed some light to where the tribal knowledge just in your family for the Art of Construction tribe?
Yeah. You know, Pop is grandpa, aka. So we got a chance to interview him, and Pop is in his 90s. He grew up in Messer Construction. So shout out to those guys up in Ohio. And he was, I think he was senior project manager, and I believe he was a senior VP at Messer. Don't hold me to that, but I can't remember his title exactly, but he was alongside the CEO. But we got a chance to talk to him and pick his brain and like, hey, what was it like coming up in the 50s when in the commercial construction industry? Like, what was that like? Tell us. Cause we're thinking like, you know, we're thinking like there's so much that we can gather just from that one, just one perspective there. And there's so many times we're not able to talk to people like that anymore most of the time. And so one of the questions we asked him, how do you handle RFI? Like, how do you handle that? Or how did you handle that back in the day? Like, did you get carrier pigeon? Like, you know, was it horses? Like, what happened? He's like, I couldn't even spell RFI. We just talked to each other. And I just went, oh my gosh, stop it, Pop. Really? Just talk to each other? No, really? Like, we'd have to have two or three meetings to resolve an RFI today. And so it cracks me up. Like, we get that perspective of looking back at our grandfather and just saying, like, how did he do it? How did they do it? What are the things that we've lost that we need to bring back? Because if there were zero RFI on a job called Millett Hall, which is a massive structure up in Ohio that our grandfather worked on. It's a big stadium kind of with a basketball court in the middle of it. It's, I think, like 400-foot trusses. Like, these things are big, beefy things. If there was zero RFI on a job like that, I mean, come on. I've been involved in projects that were 200 tons that had probably close to 300 RFI on them that bogged down the entire process. I love talking to Pop and even our dad and just hearing more about it. Dad is another one who just, he's constantly looking back and he's always telling us about the master builder, you know, how architects used to be the master builder of the project. And so that's just been ingrained in our systems too. So I don't know. There's a pride of craftsmanship that I feel like we've almost lost, and not to continue to beat on technology, but you know, I almost feel like it causes us to pass the buck. Technology has kind of become the flex tape of the industry. We just slap it on a leak and call it good. Like,
yeah, there's so much gold there. You know, I just want to take a moment and say, like, thank you for what you're doing for the Art of Construction, because as the sixth generation, the best thing you can do to be a good leader is to go ask for help. And our industry is famous for letting construction of like, I'm just going to fake it till we make it and not go do it the hard way like Pop and your dad did, because they didn't have a computer to just spit out a CRM RFI thing, right? Thing I would want to put out there, we just did a deep dive series with Alice Technology all around artificial intelligence. And on show 239 titled, Don't Get Stuck on an Island, that came to me instantly is when we interviewed Chris Bays and he talked about on the island, there's only so many people. So the mindset is very different to where if you just can that person and send them a nasty email, there's no one else in line to do the work.
Mm.
So we have to think about that tribe to say it's like people are replaceable, or the thing that drives me crazy when someone says, don't take this personal, it's just business. It's all personal.
Every bit of it.
And it's all people that actually have to pick up the pieces that technology cannot actually do it all, right? And my understanding is that kind of what you're saying to where I think, Tyler, our platforms for the art of construction is that we are this voice of, we're no magic pill. We're just saying we've grown up, my stepfather raised me in supply channel. I look at supply channel, it's very similar to what it was 30 years ago. Now, every day it's changing like tenfold because it had to, mm-hmm. because of all the stuff. Same thing with technology. Your dad, an early adopter to where you know the, but now you're going back all the way to pop to say, forget RFIs. Let's go talk about this. Right? Is that what we're
saying? Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. It's this magical technology where we can talk to people. Like it's so many things. Like even in my time as a project manager in structural steel, you know, there's so many things could get resolved just by a simple phone call. And the reason is you can hear inflection. You can hear somebody's voice. Like this is a really cool gift that most of us have been given to be able to vocalize and express.
Wait, the email doesn't tell you if they're pissed off or not?
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't really. Right?
Or you can assume they are. And then it's this whole thing of assumptions is what's become RFIs. And now it's just every day is technology assumptions.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. And anytime that I lost my mind or somebody else lost their mind at me was because of a miscommunication on email. Most of the time. I hate email. I hate it with a burning passion. To death with email. Because I think it has caused one of the biggest issues in our industry. Well, people forwarding crap.
And I agree with that, but it's actually not understanding the communication. Text messages, all that stuff can be the same thing. Mm-hmm. If it's not properly intended or intentional, as we now have to be flexible because we COVID changed the game to where you now you can't just meet on the job site because the world is too fast now. We have to use technology in the right way, but we have to be intentional about not messing up the psyche of the team, the emotions. I think that's what you and I are looking at this to say, when do things go wrong?
Yeah.
Is when people aren't on the same page. And technology doesn't fix that.
No, and even like, let's go to the job trailer, for instance, right? I know you've been in a meeting, I've been in a meeting where we go into a job trailer and we're like, all right, guys, we're here to have a meeting. And nothing happens. And it feels like we're talking around the issues for for an hour and you walk out and you kind of feel dazed and confused. Like what's going on?
What just happened? What did we accomplish? Well, now I have 10 more questions. Yeah.
So there's part of me that also wonders like how much of that is because we have hid behind email. We don't know how to communicate properly and drive to solving problems like we used to be able to. Conversation is kind of dying. What we're doing right now is kind of dying. Us having a conversation face to face, that's weird. that can be weird.
And I like how you're saying us having a conversation face to face. And Tribe, here's where I want to tell you a story of we are feeling the conversation. You just said face to face, but we're actually looking at each other through the computer screen. And I challenge you to say, Tyler came to Denver and we waited to do this podcast because we're like, we know it's going to be more passionate if we're face to face because that was the whole conversation about this thing. But Tribe, you have to be flexible. He came into town. We had a COVID outbreak. I chose to say it's not the right thing to do. So we're back to doing it, even though we pushed it off and tried to do this, but we were still persistent enough to where when you hear this, we didn't give up. And that's what I think is something that we all have to stop and say, like, we are not giving up. It's up to us to move this thing forward and go get the right amount of help. I remember when I started this podcast, we were like, why are you doing this? I'm like, I have coaching. I'm deathly afraid of public speaking. And people were asking me to do that because I was kind of like you, Tyler, like we've been in the industry long enough. Like We want to put ourselves out there. We're comfortably behind our social media phone. So then people ask you to actually step up to the plate. And it was like, whoa.
Uh-oh.
And that's when I went and got all this coaching and got speaking coaches and went and got this help, because I'm so emotional. Like blood, sweat, and tears just flows out of me, right?
Yeah.
But why I bring this up to you, Tribe, is that just, Tyler, like you said, I'm still talking with my dad, with Pop, because you truly care about each other. Yeah. And you continue to get that coaching. Because we all need so much coaching to say, how can we all step up to the mic?
Yeah.
Whatever mic you want the mic to be. If it's just in the job site trailer, you better be ready to step up, because we all have to step up together versus just send an email.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many times where sending an email is just passing the buck. And I've watched that play out again and again and again. And in the family business, you know, we would see up to about 100 projects a year. You know, we'd motor through some stuff. So we'd get to see a lot. Like, we'd get to see 100 different engineers, 100 different architects. We'd see, you know, and maybe not as many fabricators, but still, we got to see that information break down a lot. And most of it happened because somebody forwarded an email without context, out of nowhere, or just all caps, "This is hot." Have you ever gotten that email before? Like, somebody's like, "This is hot. I need it now."
The 911 guy that just goes 911. 911. 911.
Not kidding. Somebody was doing that to me so many times that I emailed them back the phone number to their local fire department. Nothing else. They said, "This thing's on fire." And so I just sent them back their local fire department's phone number. Like, I'm done.
Now it's just adding fuel to the fire, right? And that's the part that the psychology is such a big deal right now, Tribe. Like, we have to truly, and it's hard to have each other's back when you're forced to make certain changes. Then you become this, what side of the fence am I on? What team am I on? You just have to be able to be flexible, to be able to live in everyone else's shoes, because we all have a great story to tell. And that's what I, talk to us a little bit more about your podcast and your platform, because I've really enjoyed, you know, tell us the Art of Construction Tribe, what the Construction Brothers podcast is all about, and peel back a little bit more from having Pop on there. But like, so kind of what's the future look like for your platform?
Eddie and I have boiled it down to two main things: ideas and encouragement. We want to share ideas and we want to spread encouragement out to the construction community. We're constantly beating on each other. And so to encourage people, Eddie and I just beat on each other and give them a laugh. So we try to lighten the mood a little bit by using our brotherly love to our things.
What's your characters in the story? So like, paint the picture of if I were to get an email or a phone call from Tyler versus Eddie, how would that work? Like, what are your mannerisms to kind of, and then how you come together for people to get excited to go check out the Construction Brothers podcast?
You know, Eddie's the very calm and collected one of the podcast, very straight to the point. He will joke around a little bit. Me, on the other hand, I'm completely off the handle in comparison. And so it's an interesting kind of, I'm going to say the word and I'm going to need to put a dollar in the jar whenever I get back to the office, but it's an interesting synergy we were able to create. And, you know, that it's funny because it's our relationship. Like that's if you come and listen to the podcast, that is what it's like in our office every single day. Like, when we're messing with each other, that's it. There's really no difference. And so you can come in and feel that family dynamic. I hope that's the intention. And so you just feel encouraged because of it. You're just part of the group and part of the family, you know, and similar to what you've created here, Devin. It's just, you know, you've got your tribe, right? Just kind of change it over to family. That's the same thing, right? So we like sharing ideas, coming up with new ways of approaching the construction industry. New ways or even old ways of approaching the construction industry. And a lot of times when we see buzzwords or hear buzzwords, we try to break it down too and say, well, this isn't that new. You know, we try to also dive into some of that. If like, hey, you know, we were talking about prefab and we went into the Sears and Roebuck homes that were produced way back in the day too. We're like, listen, you know, we act like prefab's this new thing. It's not. Stop. It's not. This has been around a long time. Even before Sears did this stuff. So I don't know. We break down some of those buzzwords and we try to educate and then, you know, share ideas and just have fun. You know, it's fun because it's all just a ruse, right? We just did this for free education. That's what we get. We just get free education out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And so luckily, you know, some people enjoy it and they've been following along for the ride ever since. And we appreciate it. It's been so much fun.
We'll make sure to put links in all the show notes. And what other platforms, my Scott Hick and my producer said, Devin, you should go do TikTok. I'm like, what's TikTok? And then I looked and I saw you were the first one that came up when I searched construction. And I'm like, that's super cool. And so that was behind the scenes, Tyler, that was one of the origin stories, right? And I wanted you to hear that too. We'll put all the contact information for you in the show notes, but what is your website platform? And maybe talk about something new or things that you've been very successful at of educational marketing.
Yeah. So kind of, I guess, flipping over to the marketing side of things, you know, what I'm into now. It's kind of the same sorts of vibes as what I was talking about in construction. It's kind of a back to basics sort of mentality. And so, you know, StoryBuilder was created because I was kind of just, I was blown away by how many times I saw marketing missing the mark and not actually speaking to construction people. And it's not because marketers are bad at their job. That's not it. It's that marketers haven't been in the industry, and the industry has its own language. The industry has its own feel. Right. And so that's where StoryBuilder came from. You know, I'm trying to help bridge that gap between marketing and construction. And then beyond that, helping people create their own voice online. That's the other side that it's given me just chills. Just thinking about it. It's so much fun that I get to do this now, that I get to teach people, you know, how to educate the construction community more. It's unsiloing information. Right. Let's get it out of these information silos. Let's start putting it online so people can engage with it, and let's start building relationships. And so I guess kind of back to the main core thing is, you know, when we think about construction marketing, like, what are some of the main things that you start to think of? Like, I don't know about you, but I tend to go to like Google Ads or like Facebook Ads or LinkedIn, you know, stuff like that. Would you concur?
Totally. Yep.
Yeah. And so I started looking at that going like, well, this stuff doesn't really work for commercial construction. Like, it can, I'm not going to say it doesn't ever work, but we've tried it like internally and failed. And I've talked to so many other people that they have run Google Ads or they've, you know, dumped money into, you know, sponsoring an email or whatever that may be without doing any of the foundational work. And they just lose all their money because they haven't felt any time in the relationships. So what I'm saying is that stop online marketing and start building relationships online. Breaking down how we do that by pulling out our phone and talking about what we know. You know, we have this amazing little device, and I've heard Gary Vee say this, so I'm going to completely steal it, but you flip the flipping camera around and you start talking to this little rectangle that you have in front of you, right? There's so much great stuff that can come out of that. And I love talking to people and helping them create new ways of you know, engaging with either potential clients, potential employees, whatever that may be. But, you know, they start building relationships there. It's an extension of their efforts in business development, going to conferences and all these other things. It's an extension of that. So that's what I'm focused on right now. That's what StoryBuilder is. It's just trying to help people get educational content out there and coaching them on how to do that.
Good on you, man. It's super cool what you're doing. As we close this thing out, the question we always ask, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
From a crystal ball perspective, if I'm really looking down the road 50 to 100 years from now, I think AI is going to be the biggest push in that. I think that we won't be able to get over ourselves with the communication thing that we were talking about earlier. And so we're just going to automate ourselves out of the process. I know that's kind of doom and gloom, but it's like the only thing that I can, only place I can go to. And so for me, crystal ball, I think AI is going to become a really big part of that.
Awesome, man. And the last question, as we get down to the focus and the riches and the niches, my man, as you have been at this 10 years and you got your dad and you got Pop and all your cool story, and we'll make sure we put all the information in the show notes for everybody after they listen to The Art of Construction and want another touch point, we'll have Tyler and Eddie at the Construction Brothers podcast. But of all of your podcasts and all of your lessons learned, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and its affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and properly grow their business?
Start building relationships. It doesn't matter in which way. It doesn't matter if you're doing it online. It doesn't matter if you're doing it at a conference. It doesn't matter any way, shape, or form. But like what we're doing right here, Devin, is a great example of that. And that's why podcasting is really effective, is that you're able to build relationships with people. You're able to start talking to people. And I was talking to, again, not my grandfather, but my uncle, who is, he was a senior VP at Messer. So he came behind my grandfather, actually. And I was sitting down with him at lunch the other day, and I was kind of telling him what I'm up to. He's like, you know, Tyler, like sales and construction and commercial construction, it's about the relationships. It's about the people you know. And Messer is not a small contractor by any stretch. Yeah. So whenever he said that, I was like, hey, I'm onto something. Cool, that feels good.
Awesome. Well, Art of Construction is honored to be affiliated with the Construction Brothers podcast and Tyler. And I can't wait to see where our stories converse and come together and shake and jive. But we're huge fans and we're honored to have you out there doing what you're doing. And we'll make sure to put all the information to get in touch with you on the show notes. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I love it on a new year to force yourself. Tribe, everybody that's listening to this, go online. Turn that camera around, turn that screen around, and put yourself out there. And if you're shaking in your boots right now and just say, I know I need to do this, but I need help, Tyler's there, the storyteller and many leaders of the tribe. We're all here because we know it's about getting and digging a little deeper to get past the email BS curtain and getting into actually knowing a little bit more about each other. It's fascinating for me to sit here and say, I agree with Tyler. 50 years from now, AI is going to be a crazy thing about how much it turns all this stuff upside down. But I can tell you 50 years from now, when you're a Pop like Pop is, a lot of it's going to be the same. And what's all going to be the same is that lifelong legacy of tribal knowledge and around who you're surrounding yourself with, who has each other's back. Because the humans are still going to be the secret sauce 50 years from now. It's just augmenting us humans because we're crazy creatures. We have good days, we have bad days, and you never know what you're going to get sometimes. So make sure you connect to the storyteller because Tyler is so fun because he just puts himself out there. And as my motto is, elevate and delegate, always be marketing, and have as much fun as possible. Tribe, this shit's fun if you allow it to be fun. Shut that computer off, turn on the camera, and put yourself out there. And if you need help, the storyteller's there for you. Crush it out there, tribe.